come in. Ah, hello. Please, come. Take a seat. I'll be with you in a minute. How are you finding things now that we're back giving face-to-face lectures? I can see you've certainly settled in enough to go for a nap in the middle of my class. And judging by your expression, I'll take it you thought you'd got away with that. But I was a student too once, you know. It's all right. I know Shakespeare isn't everyone's cup of tea. So, what can I help with? Ah, yes. The dreaded essay. You aren't going to ask for an extension, are you? I can't give out any more, or I'll be marking them throughout the holidays. And contrary to what some students might tell you, I don't live in this building. No? You want to change your essay topic? Well, I applaud your bravery for asking this so close to the deadline, but I must say I am surprised. If I may ask, why would you want to give up on your current topic? I thought you were almost finished. Your early drafts were quite promising. Ah, so you've hit the infamous wall of writer's block. Well, I should congratulate you. It means you're on the right path. Looking in the right places, asking the right questions. And to give all that up and start again is quite the gamble. One I cannot, in good conscience, allow you to take. Just because you can't do something now does not mean you'll never be able to do it. Everyone has off days. You've come up against a challenge, and that's okay. Challenge is a natural part of life. But right now, you have a choice. Give up and accept your fate, or keep going and have a chance at achieving greatness. Dear, sorry, I'm waffling on a bit, aren't I? Well, to summarise, no. I won't let you change your topic. But how about we look over your latest draft and see if we can't get to the bottom of this, Marvellous. You have it on hand, I take it? Ah, here we are. Let's see. Excellent piece of analysis. Everyone uses this reference. Strong use of quotation. This is incredible. Your academic framework is flawless, if not a little modern. So before we move on to what you're stuck with, how about we go over what we know so far? So the play you chose to analyse was Hamlet. As we know, the three crises of the play's opening lay the groundwork for the play's inciting incident. And these can be found in the kingdom, in Hamlet's family, and in Hamlet's mind. Hamlet accepts at once that it's his duty to take revenge for his father's death, and the audience can also see that Hamlet's revenge would go some way to resolving the play's three crises, as by killing Claudius, Hamlet could in one stroke remove a weak and immoral king, extract his mother from what he sees as a bad marriage, and make himself the king of Denmark. Throughout the inciting incident, however, there are hints that Hamlet's revenge will be derailed by an internal struggle. The ghost warns him, "Taint not thy mind, nor let thy soul contrive against thy mother aught." When Horatio and Marcellus catch up to Hamlet after the ghost's departure, Hamlet is already talking in such a deranged way that Horatio describes it as wild and whirling. Hamlet tells him that he may fake an antic disposition, which helps the audience understand the coming conflict will not be between Hamlet and Claudius, but between Hamlet and his own mind. For the whole of the second act, the play's rising action, Hamlet delays his revenge by pretending to be mad. We learn from Ophelia that Hamlet is behaving as if he is mad with love for her. We see him make fun of Polonius by talking nonsense which contains half-hidden jokes at Polonius's expense. Hamlet tells Rosencrantz and Guildenstern that he has lost all mirth. Only at the end of Act Two do we learn the reason for Hamlet's delaying tactics. The reason being, he cannot work out his true feelings about his duty to take revenge. First, he tells us, "I peek like John o' Dreams, unpregnant of my cause," showing that he doesn't feel as angry and vengeful as he thinks he should. And secondly, he's worried that the ghost wasn't really a ghost, but the devil trying to trick him. He decides that he needs more evidence of Claudius's crime. As the rising action builds towards the climax, Hamlet's internal struggle deepens until he starts to show signs of really going mad. At the same time, Claudius becomes suspicious of Hamlet, which creates an external pressure on Hamlet to act. Hamlet begins Act 3 debating whether or not to take his own life. To be or not to be, that is the question. And moments later, he hurls abuse at Ophelia, which reminds the audience of Hamlet's earlier disgust with his own mother and her second marriage. This troubling development in Hamlet's feelings makes us wonder how much of Hamlet's desire to kill Claudius is fueled by the need to avenge his father's death, and how much of his desire is fueled by Hamlet's resentment of Claudius for taking his mother away. Claudius, who is eavesdropping on Hamlet's tirade, becomes suspicious that Hamlet's madness presents some danger and decides to have Hamlet sent away. Hamlet is running out of time to take his revenge. So your essay explains all of this flawlessly, but then it just ends. Why? Trouble thinking of a final point. Well, let's see. I believe I have a copy of the book on hand. Aha. Right. Let's see. Not there. Aha, here we are. Hamlet explores the question of fate versus free will, whether it is better to act decisively or let nature take its course. And ultimately, if anything we do in our time on Earth makes any difference. Once he learns his uncle has killed his father, Hamlet feels duty-bound to take decisive action. But he also has so many doubts about his situation and even about his own feelings that he cannot decide what action to take. Sorry, apologies, I'm rambling, aren't I? I can see your frantic attempts at note-taking. I suppose I wouldn't be much of a teacher if I just threw some notes at you and kicked you out the door. And I guess that pile of marking can wait. Right. That settles it. I'm going to grab a coffee, and we're going to finish this essay if it's going to be the death of me.